So today is the last session of just we've been having such an amazing time. How many people have really enjoyed this batch of discipleships? If you've a show of hands, if you really enjoyed it, if you feel like you got something out of it, that's amazing. I've really, you know, learned a lot from it also. And it's the last one. Oh, good things come to an end. I want to thank God for my salvation. I'm really grateful to God for, you know, just for keeping me through just so many things, so many seasons, and just him just continuing. You know, it's only by the grace of God. And I say that like literally, it's only by the grace of God I've experienced God's grace. And I'm so grateful to him. I thank God for my leaders, thank God for Pastor Siviki, for just, they're amazing. They're just absolutely amazing. I can't even find the words. Thank God for their patience, their leadership, their exampleship. I thank God for Abby for this opportunity. I'm grateful to be here. And I just pray that you'll be blessed and that we'll continue to learn. It's like not preaching, it's teaching. We're learning from one another. I'm just a facilitator. So let's pray before we start. Father, we just thank you so much, oh God, for this opportunity. God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your word that is living, that is active. I thank you for your word that is so relevant in every situation, in every circumstance. And Lord, as we go deeper in your word, I ask that you, Holy Spirit, will come and bring it alive in our hearts, that you will speak to us today and that you will teach us. Holy Spirit, your word says that you are our teacher. Come and be our teacher tonight. We open up our hearts to you and we say, come and have your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So tonight we're going to continue on. We're looking at Ephesians. So the first week, Sister Vicky really broke down about one of the main things that really stood out to me from what she said was about studying, finding a word and really breaking that word down and studying it and making it relevant to you. And she said a word that she always shares when she talks about studying the Bible, that God showed her that whatever you study, you will become. So if you're struggling with fear and you study perfect love, for example, you become it. And that's something that I've put into practice personally. And she really shared on that in the first week and about fiery darts, and which was, you know, really relevant to, I know for myself, I know to a lot of other women who testified about that at the end of the session. And the second week, Jemima showed us technique and studying about really looking at, breaking down the scripture word for word, looking at the dictionary definition, not just, when you look at truth, what does truth mean? Not just looking at, truth is truth, isn't it? And it's truth, you know, it's truth, yeah, it's not the truth. But really when you break it down, when you look at the Greek, the Hebrew, and really finding out more, going deeper into what it means. And we've been really learning about, really, everything I've been doing this past 2 weeks, been really showing us the importance of going deeper, the importance of, you know, not just taking the word of God for face value and really digging into it and eating it and, you know, really, really dissecting it and really getting it for all it's worth. And that's what we've been really learning this past 2 weeks. And today we're going to continue in Ephesians, from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 16 through to 18. And I'm just going to read it. It says, at all times, carry faith as a shield, for with it you will be able to put out all the burning arrows shot by the evil one, and accept salvation as a helmet, and the word of God as the sword which the Spirit gives you. Do all this in prayer, asking for God's help. Pray on every occasion as the Spirit leads. For this reason, keep alert and never give up. Pray always for all God's people. But tonight, we're going to be focusing mainly on the shield of faith, the word, which is the sword, and prayer. Those are the three things that we're going to be focusing on studying tonight. So my angle was, the first week we looked at focusing on the word, finding that particular word. Like, for example, if you talk about standing. Standing was a word that, in this scripture, the word stand is used so many times. So taking that word, breaking it down, what does it mean? What does it mean in Greek? What does it mean? Break it down and really understand what it means to stand. Second week, technique. Look for the dictionary definition. Look for the Greek meaning, the Hebrew meaning. Look for ways to apply in your word and pray into your life. And today, one of the method that I wanted to bring, again, you know, we have so many different methods. And I think one of the ways, one of the really, really good things it's going to be when we go into our group sessions, we can share with each other, oh, I do this too, you know, I do that too, and, you know, and learn from each other. There's such a wealth of experience in this room, just looking around. And one of the things, one of the methods that I want to focus on today is looking at the why in Scripture. Looking at the why, looking at the function, and looking at application. And the why is, what's the point of the Scripture? Why is it there? What's the point of it? Why did God, out of all the things that was said in life, out of all the weapons, for example, out of all the weapons that the soldiers had, you know, they had spears, they had arrows, why did Apostle Paul use these ones? You know, and the function is, what is it for? What is the Scripture for? What is it? What is it supposed to do? And the third one is application. How do I use it? And those are the three things that we're going to focus on. Three methods, rather, because it's different methods that we're going to focus on in our study tonight. So first of all, I'm just going to look at the shield of faith. I really like the Amplified version. It says, "Lift up over all the covering shield of saving faith, upon which you can quench all the fiery missiles of the wicked one." So lift up all the covering the shield of faith. Now, when it says that, it talks about over. So you've put all these things on. We put the sword, we put the breastplate of righteousness on. We put the belt of truth on. Put our shoes on. Put our hat on. It says over all these things that you've got on, put up the shield of faith. And why? So looking at the why. One of the ways that I know for me, I do when looking at the why of Scripture is cross-referencing, because you know the Bible supports itself, the Bible proves itself, and cross-referencing it really really helps me when I'm looking at why, you know. And some Bibles have it, some people have it in the middle of the Bible. Sometimes you just, but now the internet is just so amazing. You can just like type in and Google cross-reference Scripture for that Scripture, and it just comes up. And some of the Scriptures that I found in looking at the why is Hebrews 11 verse 1, Hebrews 11 6. You can just write this down. Anytime. Proverbs 30 verse 5, 2 Samuel 22 verse 31, Romans 14 23, and 1 John 5 4. Just going to focus on Hebrews 11 6 and 11 1 and 11 6. It says, "For faith is the substance of things hoped for." Look at evidence of things not seen. That's what the Scripture that talks about what faith is. Now, so you think, okay, it says to hold up the shield of faith over all this thing. And when you look at the why, faith is the thing, is the very thing that we need despite everything else. Romans 11, 6 talks about that without faith it's impossible to please God, which is the most important thing, pleasing God. So if it's saying that we should have our shield up, then over everything, then it means that that's one of the most important things, because it's that faith that will protect all the other armors. And then I was looking at also put into practice the other methods we've learned over the weeks, looking at the meaning of things. So shield, what does shield mean? What was Paul talking about? He says a Roman shield or scutum was made from bonded wood strips and covered with leather. The shield was not flat, but it was a semicircular, so that any missiles thrown at the soldiers would be deflected at one side. Iron or brass rims were fitted along the edges of the shield, and a leather strap was fastened to the back. The shield had a metal projection in the center, which was used to stun or wind an opponent, easing the soldier's subsequent strike with his sword. So for this reason, the shield was both a defensive tool and offensive tool. Now, straight away, that explains a lot, because there's another type of shield that's like a circular one. It's quite a small, circular thing. But he's saying that's not the shield Paul was talking about here. Paul was talking about the long shield. It was shaped like a door, he says. He said it was, he says shaped like a door. So he covered the soldier all the way up. Not just a small one here, but it covered all the way up, which means it covered all the armor. So even little information like that will help us in breaking down and looking at okay, what is this thing for? And then when you go into looking at the function of a shield, if you look back at the scripture, it says, lift up over all the covering shield of saving faith upon which you can quench all the fiery missiles of the wicked one. So we know that now the scripture says that the shield is to quench the fiery darts of the enemy. And if you're looking at what the shield was for, it was to quench the fiery darts of the enemy. And one of the things the Roman soldiers did was they put water on the shield so that when the fiery darts came, it would quench the fire straight away. So then it's like Paul is giving us like a vision, like a vision almost. You can almost picture it. You can almost picture having fiery darts coming and then just disappearing. So that's one of the ways to really look at it. Because sometimes, remember, I think Sister Vicky mentioned the first week, you can read this scripture and then you can wake up in the morning and go, I took off my shield of faith. You know, put my sword, my helmet, you put it on, and you practically, like, I put the boots, I strap it, I bind it, you know, and you're, like, doing all these pretty things, and you're, like, but but it's important to look at, what does this mean? What is the function of it? And when you look at Proverbs 30, verse 5, again, why? It talks about the word of God as a shield. 2 Samuel 22:31 also references the word of God as a shield. So then it explained then to us that this shield of faith is the word of God. So it's not just about having an imaginary picture of I have a shield, so let me hold it up. But it means holding up the word of God against the fiery darts of the enemy. And knowing what word to use in the right time. And understanding that, which then also proves that the word of God is relevant for every single situation. Because if the shield that Paul is describing here is to cover you from the head to your toe, it means that the word of God is able to protect you from everything, from every fiery dart, everything that the enemy brings. So it really, you know, it starts to really expand our minds and think, okay, what is it that I'm struggling with? What is it that the enemy is throwing at me that seems impossible? It's not impossible, because the shield of faith is enough for all of me. It's enough for every battle. It's enough for every situation. It's enough to protect me, to protect my shoes of peace when when the enemy is throwing warfare at me, when the enemy is making me think that the battle is against that sister and I want to just talk to her and tell her, how dare you? No, the shield of faith is enough. The word of God to protect that shoes. The shield of faith is enough to protect my belt of truth, that, the truth of the doctrine of the word of God. The truth of integrity, holding it all together. The shield of faith is enough to protect, my mind when the enemy is trying to lie to me and tell me that I'm not accepted, that God doesn't love me. The shield of faith is enough to protect me from that. It's enough to protect my heart when the enemy comes to tell me that I'm rejected, that God doesn't care, or, that my heart is broken. The shield of faith is enough. It comes to that. Which then means, if the shield of faith is the word of God, which then means that there is every word that we need for all the situations. So you see, like, that's one of the ways to really delve deeper and go in and break down into it. And then application, how do I use it? One of the things I was just thinking to myself when I was looking at this, I was like, imagine if the soldiers took the shield and just went like this. They had this shield and they were like, they would just die, because fiery darts would just be like shooting their heart, destroying them, but they're running with their shield over their heads, like, I got my shield. And sometimes in Christianity, if you look at ourselves, look at my life, sometimes we do that. The weapons that God has given us, we don't know how to apply it. We don't know how to best use it. And it's important also to look at scripture and look, okay, how do I best use this weapon? How do I best apply this into my life? So something like the shield of faith. It's not there for me to throw at the enemy. You're taking your shield and I'm like, okay, right, sure, fling it. The shield is over there, you're here. Next Friday that comes, it's gone. And you're out, And also the word of God shows us how to apply it in the right way. And God gives us the wisdom to do that. So basically now what we're going to do is we're going to go into our groups And we're going to look at, the two things to look at is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. What I'm going to do is I'm going to give like a definition of what the Word of God is and the sword of the Spirit, all the background stuff like Jamal gave last week, what it is. And then in our groups, we're going to look at the function, what it's for. We're going to look at the why was this here? What other scripture proves this? That this is the weapon that I need for this particular thing. And then we're going to look at the application. How do I use it? We're going to go around our tables and look at that and have practical examples. And basically, just so I'm clear, number one, we're going to be looking at the why. Why is this scripture here? Why is the Word of God the sword of the Spirit? Number two, we're going to look at the functions. What is it for? What am I supposed to use it for? And number three, we're going to look at the application. How do I use it? What's the best way to use it? So first of all, the Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit, I'm just going to give a historic background. It says, the Roman sword or gladius was crafted of iron. Blacksmiths hardened the iron by coating the red-hot sword blade with coal dust, thus forming a hard carbon coating on the blade. Sword handles were made of iron, ivory, bone, or wood. The Romans used their sword both offensively and defensively. It's used in a defensive manner. The sword, along with the other armor pieces, enabled the soldiers to deflect the enemy's blows. As an offensive weapon, the sword was used to attack and counterattack an enemy until the weapon seriously wounded or killed the assailant. Right? So that's the actual sword that Paul was talking about. They used in reference. And then also prayer. Now, this is the one. Verse 18. It says, do all this in prayer, asking for God's help. Pray on every occasion as the Spirit leads. For this reason, keep alert and never give up. Pray always for all God's people. Prayer. One of the things that came to mind when I looked at prayer was, why did Paul not give it a name? Because as the Roman soldiers, if you look into this scripture and look at the weapons that they used in warfare, this is not an exclusive list of weapons. They had other things, like I said before in the beginning, they had spears, they had arrows, they had darts, like they had other weapons that they used. But somehow Paul didn't give prayer a name. He didn't say, oh, take up your spear of prayer, you know. And I was thinking, why is that? And then one of the things that I thought of, and I saw even from reading different things, was that prayer is the one weapon that the enemy does not have a counterfeit of. That's the one thing that we have that is ours. The enemy does not have, he doesn't have prayer at all. The one thing that we have. It's like I was reading about this, the wars in like the Vietnam War and stuff, and it was talking about when this was the first time they invented something other than a visible tool, radio signals. So say you were in danger and you could call radio and call, like, it's called airwaves, what was the name for that thing? I can't really write it down. But basically it was like a radio thing where you could call for help, but the enemy had no idea that you've called for help, and he had no way of intercepting. So that's kind of like what it is, you know. So somebody else called it like it was like a laser bomb, laser smart bomb thing. Because the enemy is not, he can't do anything about your prayer. So that's like, I guess, you know, if I want to call it something, I would say that this is our secret. This is the secret weapon. Not the one you go away and you devise to get upper hand over the enemy, you know, in water, and they go and think of some secret tool, you know, like a surprise to bring in. This is the one. Prayer is the one, which then shows its importance, its absolute, like, the necessity of it. So those are the three things that we're going to focus on today. The shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, and prayer as a secret weapon of warfare. So, in our groups, I'm going to go into our group, our table, we're in tables now. So look at the why through cross-referencing, the function, you know, so what was that weapon for, and the application, how do I apply the weapon in my life? And for the application bit, we're really, really good to get practical real-life examples with a scripture to back it up as well. So we have 15 to 20 minutes. Okay, so you can go.
Thank you. Thank you.
I hope everyone's had a good time studying, looking into it. Great. So, so just feedback time, really. We're just going to go, basically, whoever puts their hands up first goes first. So sharing your table, what you learned, sharing if somebody could share about the sword of the spirit and what you guys learned on your table on the sword of the spirit. Back table ready?
Okay, so we did the sword of the spirit. So we said, why was the sword used? So that we said, well, it's the main offensive weapon in our armor. And we gave the example. Okay. And we thought of verses like it says, the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword, and it divides like bone and marrow and all that kind of stuff. We also said it's defensive, so the sword could be used as defense, and so is the word of God, so it can block the attack of the enemy. So, for example, if the enemy comes to say you're not saved, etc., etc., you can use things like there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. And we also thought of the example, like Jesus used the word of God defensively as well when Satan came to tempt him in the desert, and Satan was using it like a sword of lies and misinterpreting the Bible and using the Bible out of context, and Jesus blocked it with the truth. And we thought as well, in Acts, the example of the word of God being used like a sword. When Peter healed the man at the gate who was lame, he said, silver and gold I don't have, but in the name of Jesus. So was using, applying the word of God there like a sword. So application. So the application we said of, is this how you work? Yeah, so sorry, the function. So we said the function of the sword, it's effective for thrusting and stabbing movement. So it's double-edged and it can slash as well as cut, and it can kill and finish the enemy off, so it can finish the enemy's plans. And then how do we apply it? So we thought offensive application was already given some examples of how Jesus and how the disciples used it. So we can use it, for example, if we're praying for world leaders, you know, they might have introduced ungodly laws, they might have introduced plans to persecute Christians. Like it says in Proverbs, that the Lord can direct the heart of the king, and you could pray and you could quote that scripture, and you could say, God, it says in the word, you know, you can direct the heart of the king, please change the heart of the king, please change the heart of the president, etc. And we can pray for the sick, and we can say things like, by your stripes we're healed. And that kind of thing. And so we thought of examples of defensive application as well. So there's things like Isaiah 54:17. If you're coming under spiritual attack, or we're thinking like if you've been through a Job-like experience and you feel like cursing God, and if you think about it, if you did curse God, then it would be Satan would be triumphing over you. You could quote things like, no weapon formed against me shall prosper.
Thank you. Is another table to share about what they found, the function and applications of the sword of the spirit?
Hello. So we have on the sword.
Oh, sorry. Just because of time, to give one function and one application.
One function, one application. So, one function. The sword is a weapon belonging to the Holy Spirit, which is two-edged, so it means you're always able to attack wherever you stand, as long as you use it properly, which is then, of course, the word of God. Application. we've combined it with prayer. It means standing on the word of God, praying the word of God, knowing that he watches over his word to see it performed. And so whenever his word, it says in the Bible that his word goes out and it doesn't come back void. So that's how to apply the word.
Thank you. And then moving on to prayer, if it's one table to share the why, and then another table to share the function, and the third table to share the application. Just quick examples of time. So who wants to share the why? I'll pick a table.
Two things that come to mind. One, Jesus said, pray so that you wouldn't enter into temptation. That's number one. And number two, I think it's important that we bind on earth what is bound in heaven, and so that we loose on earth what is loosed in heaven.
And in the function, any table want to share what they found about the function?
We were saying there's two functions to prayer, to protect and to have an impact. So when we pray for ourselves, for our family, we intercede for other people. We're praying our protection, God's protection over them. And when we pray for certain things, like we had a good time talking about different things that we pray for and stuff, but it makes an impact. It makes it change. Changes the atmosphere, changes the whole consequences of an act of what you're doing. You can live your life as an act of prayer in a way. You know, sometimes when we're living right with God, we can be the answer to our own prayers through like living it out and living out the word of God.
Okay. And then the application, they want to volunteer.
For the application of prayer, you can use it in prayer to cast down arguments and. Pulling down of strongholds. In prayer, you can also use thanks and praise, and it's just a personal connection with God. It's not always about trying to attack things. It's just about having that relationship so you can be more sensitive to what he wants to do in your life and how you can work out your life through prayer and what he's showing you in prayer and in your life.
And then finally from that table, they have something to say about...
Yeah, I just wanted to say that it highlights that there's different types of prayer. So in order for us to be effective as believers, we need to know what type of prayer we need to use in different situations, whether it be the prayer of thanksgiving, warfare, praise and worship, supplication, and also being alert and watchful whilst we're praying and being sensitive to the Holy Spirit, because he will reveal things to us in advance so we can pray and intercept what the enemy wants to do.
We've come to the end of the evening, and just want to just thank everybody for coming, and I would just like to call up Abby to close us off and to share any information for the coming ones. So let's welcome Abby.
Hi everyone. When you said I'm going to share, I was like, Lord, in and out of season. Yeah, I don't know about you, but I've found the last 3 weeks absolutely fantastic. Can anyone else agree? I know it's been a different dynamic to what we've been used to, but I've learned so much. It's been amazing and personally, it's revived my passion for study. Because sometimes you can think, I'll do it because I have to. But it's revived the excitement. It's almost like an adventure, getting my word. Because half the time, none of you wanted to stop, to be honest. And I'm quite sad that it's coming to an end, but it's not officially the end. We'll be back. But I just want to draw your attention to the feedback forms that are on your sheet. On your table. I just want to encourage you just to spend a couple of minutes at the end, once we pray, just to give your feedback, really, because it's a result of feedback we've heard. Oh, wow, you're already on it. But yeah, we just really want to ensure that the discipleships from now on are what you want and what you need to build you up in Christ. So if you could just hold for a moment on the forms. Yeah. Thank you. I just want us to close in prayer before you write all your wonderful thoughts and opinions down. Praise God. And I just also want to make mention of all the speakers, all the teachers that have shared over the past 3 weeks. We had Sister Vicky, we had Jemima, we've had Promise. Thank you all for reviving our passion for the word. So yeah, I really want to thank them. So if we could just take a moment to end all these sessions in prayer. Father, we just thank you so much, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord God, that there's no end of to revelation in your word, oh God. And we just thank you, Lord God, that you've revived a passion and excitement for your word, oh God. And right now we just ask, Lord, that this passion, this excitement will not die, it will not wither, but it would only grow stronger, it will only grow brighter, oh God. And we're thankful, Lord. We're thankful that we have a forum that we can delve into your word, oh God. And I just pray everything that has been taught, everything that's been shared, that we will implement this daily, Lord God. That we would not dare spend time in your word. That we would not dare not spend time speaking to you, fellowshipping with you, communing with you. That we would continually bring ourselves before you, Lord God. Father, we're so thankful for what you have done in this room, what you have done over the last 3 weeks, oh God. And we're excited to see the fruit of it, oh God, to see strong, long-standing women of God able to continue on in the way in which you, Lord God, want to direct them, Lord God, that no weapon formed against them shall prosper, oh God, that they will stand strong, that they'll be able to utilize the word, Lord God, effectively, Lord God, because of these teachings, my God. So Father, we just thank you. We just pray a blessing over every single woman, oh God. And I just pray, Lord, that you will fulfill all of their heart's desires, Lord God, as they continually seek after you, as they continually search for you, Lord God, that you will grant them their heart's desires. So Father, we thank you so much for what you have done in each and every one of us, oh God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So yeah, please feel free to fill in these feedback forms and I'll come round and collect them. Thank you.
I know you won't trust anyone. You feel like you're alone. So afraid of being let down by those who say they won't. So you're raising up the bridge. You don't care who it is. You'll never let your guard down. You think I don't stand a chance. This hide and seek romance is not even a challenge. Love, I'll show you love. I'll show you love. I'll climb over a king.